Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Hey, it's Nick Hopwood and
Jim Pilot,
and we're here with another edition of Finding True Wealth. Today, we have a sexy headline: how to make $500,000 per year and still feel average.
Yeah.
Clickbait, right?
Right.
I clicked it.
You are a sucker for those clickbait articles, man, aren't you?
Especially on Twitter, you know? And if it's in a nice looking infographic,
yeah.
All day long.
You're on it.
That's right. So this one was on Twitter, actually. And if I can remember, I'll put the infographic. Maybe Aaron the intern can take care of that for us. We'll put that in the blog post so you can look at it line by line. But yeah, I really do love the headline because truly $500,000 in income is super affluent and it's much more income than most people. And it's, you know, for people that don't make that much, I know that it's hard to even imagine.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine feeling average.
It feels like, you know, rich or like a lottery situation, you know?
Yeah, you made it.
Yep, absolutely. So let's think about who makes this kind of money. First thing that came to mind is like blue chip executives, like public companies where they have great big salaries and they get bonuses and stock options. I mean, some of these guys can accumulate tons of wealth with the stock options.
Right.
Who else? Let's see. Doctors and lawyers, right? That's a nice stereotype for large income. But believe me, we've seen a lot that are nowhere near this kind of income.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, you can go on any like college website and look at all, like umich.edu. You can look up all the salaries of every single employee. Like, you know, from all the different surgeons to the coaches, right? So, like, I think at umich.edu, you'll find Jim Harbaugh as the highest paid employee, right?
Probably near the top, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he makes like $10 million or something. But now the newly minted Juwan Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, we can figure out what he makes too.
Yeah.
And so also, professional athletes, I think the NBA minimum wage is somewhere around this level.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
And even a few college players made this much. Well, Chris Webber.
Let's move on, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Juwan Howard got paid. I don't know. Okay. What about sales professionals? So you can sell everything, right? Like you can sell soap, but you're not going to make $500,000, probably not even $50,000. You can sell other stuff like widgets or equipment, machinery. You know, some of those guys selling the more expensive stuff, they can make a lot. But they're probably not up to 500, I would guess.
It's still a pretty big income.
Some of the highest paid sales professionals could be like medical device or financial services. But I see, you know, most medical device guys are still not hitting that 500.
Yeah.
So I would say for sure Wall Street people, Wall Street professionals could be close to that 500,000 on their base.
The New York City type.
Yeah, exactly. And then they get monster bonuses.
Yeah.
But they live in New York, so.
Right.
You know, hot dogs like $10.
Yeah.
You have that factor too, right? So, also, you know, you could see small and mid-sized business owners. They can make a lot of money. You just never know, based on the small business, they could be a really good practitioner.
Right.
Like, I could be a good financial planner, but just horrible at running a business.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you could, you know, pick.
Yeah, you could be a great painter.
Yeah.
And not make any money painting.
That's right. Because
you don't run your business well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we see, you know, the good and the bad there. Some of them are just working for a paycheck like any employee. Some are accumulating some serious wealth. Here at Peak, you know, we prefer to be working with the people that are in good shape, taking them from good to great.
That's it.
And also, you know, most people don't start out making $500,000, except for the athletes.
Yeah,
you
know? Right.
I mean, they have to start low and work their way up. I'd be curious as to see what the average starting wages are for people getting out of college right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they were making $50,000 a year, they probably complained about being broke. And when they are making $100,000 and $200,000, they probably traded up their lifestyle. They got a nicer car, nicer house. And then in the 40s, they kept making more, having more success. But maybe they did get into this number, right? But now they have kids and a cottage and right. five cars. And,
right.
you know, the income is great and the cost of living just keeps going up.
Yeah.
Because that's human nature. I love it when we come across a couple who starts making great money and they've not changed their lifestyle at mm-hmm. all. It's just kind of a breath of fresh air.
Millionaire next door.
That's right.
It's my favorite kind of client.
Yeah, the millionaire next door and the millionaire mind, mm-hmm. you know, they both have that theme in mind.
Everyday millionaire. That's another new one.
Yeah, good book recommendations. All right, so let's kind of go line by line here and say, all right, our salary is $500,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like $40,000 a month, right? Sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to both, the husband and the wife, max out the 401 for $19,000. 19 plus 19, 38. Then we're going to pay tax on this 464 that's left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're going to pay like 37% federal tax, 4% to the state of Michigan. On this sheet, it says $185,000. But the number is a little inflated because it's just multiplying by 40%. But your marginal rate is 40%. On a lot of the lower income, you're not paying the full rate. It's a progressive tax.
Yeah.
You know, so on the first $50,000 of income, there's virtually no tax.
Yeah.
So you can't just multiply 0.4 times 464 to get your $185,000 of tax. So the tax is overstated.
Yeah.
Okay. What else here? Marginal tax brackets. Okay. So we're going to just go with, you know, the 200 and we're going to take the sheet at its word and say, now we have $275,000 in after tax pay and after 401k,
mm-hmm.
right? So we've already done the 401, already paid the tax. We got 275.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Still pretty good, right?
Yeah. Still over 20 grand a month.
Yeah, absolutely. So the average American family has 2-point-something children, and we're going to hire a nanny because we have two little kids, okay? Well, on this infographic, that nanny is going to cost us $42,000.
It's a big number.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot. Now, I can attest with Ann Arbor nanny pricing that this $42,000 is like through the roof, and I would say it'd be more like $24,000.
Mm-hmm.
When I did some rough math.
Yeah.
So that seems like it's inflated. Maybe, again, it's New York City.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got the child care in there. Okay. Actually, you know what they've done is probably hired two nannies for $42,000.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
All right. So we've got the next line is food for four is $23,000. That'd be like going to the grocery store and spending $442 per week. Okay.
Pretty big food budget.
Yeah, it is. It is. It might be more than double of what our food budget is.
Yeah.
And we eat fine. You know, I don't feel like we're skimping on anything.
Right.
Or going overboard.
Mm-hmm.
So, a funny story about this, actually, going sidetrack. My wife really hates going to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that whenever she went, she would spend more.
Yeah. So she didn't have to go back?
So I would be like, all right, I'll go. It'll be my duty to go to the store. I'll get all the stuff because I felt like I was keeping the budget in line.
Mm-hmm.
And then she stopped working and I was getting really tired of going. Mm-hmm. So I said, look, maybe you can take this duty back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Shipt, S-H-I-P-T.
Oh, yeah.
So not only does she not have to go, but it just shows up at the doorstep. And it's easier to spend more because you're just clicking, you know?
Right.
So I don't have the energy to really comb through it right now, but I think that I could save money here, yeah. Okay?
Right.
I just have a feeling, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so mortgage. This is a huge number, $60,000. So, and this is not escrow, folks. This is just straight principal and interest, $5,000 a month. This is like a $1.5 million house.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, maybe this is a 10-year mortgage? I don't know. It just seems to me like that's a huge principal and interest number.
Yeah.
Because then down below, we've got property taxes of $20,000, mm-hmm. which is a lot, okay? And now we're up to $7,000 a month for our mortgage all in.
Wow.
That doesn't seem very average.
No.
Right? But let's remind ourselves of the headline and still feel average.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like a nice house.
Sounds like a, yeah, pretty nice place.
Yeah, absolutely. Home maintenance, $5,000. I mean, I guess that's reasonable, you know. Yeah. Property insurance, $2,500. Mine is more like $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So a little inflated. They've got 3 vacations per year for $18,000.
$6,000 each?
Yeah, $6,000 per trip.
Okay.
Family of 4. I mean, if you're going to go during... If you have kids in school, in spring break, they get you. Like, Delta is just raking it in.
Yeah.
If you want to go during Christmas break, forget it.
Yeah, watch out.
I mean, like, I used, like, the Sky Miles and stuff, and I'm still, like, devastated when I have to pay this, like, $4,000 for flights, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. I guess we're just going to have to deal with it. But so when I think about the price of the flights... I think that this $18,000 is not unreasonable.
Yeah.
But it's still more than most people would spend for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they have 2 at $6,000 each, and it would be 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Christmas break, spring break, and then you drive up north in 4th of July or something like that.
Right.
I mean, so I think that you could make that happen for well under $18,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, we've got 2 cars here. We've got a BMW and a Toyota, and we're paying $400 a month on each one. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, some of these assumptions we think are high, but that one to me seems like it could even be on the low side.
It could be,
if you have a $1.5 million house, there's a good chance you're spending more than $400 a month on your car.
That's right. Yep, and if you're buying a car that's $50,000, which, you know, the average one is like, over 30 grand now,
yeah.
30, 35, yeah. You know, you're going to have to get upwards of $800 a month for one car.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Right.
If you ever want to have a chance to pay it off.
Yeah.
Gas, we've got $5,000. I mean, I don't have to pay any gas.
Right.
So I don't even know. Car insurance, $2,000. That seems reasonable. You know what I'm surprised is they didn't add a third car in here. Like,
yeah.
You know, like a specialty Porsche or something.
Yeah.
Life insurance, $2,500, seems reasonable. They've got $3 million in term. I think that's good. Clothes, $9,500. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, what is a clothing budget?
Yeah.
I don't keep track.
Yeah, that could.
I buy 2 suits a year, like one in January and one in July.
Right.
And it's certainly not $9,000. I'll tell you that much. here's one: children's lessons, $12,000. Sports, piano, violin, academics. I mean, I never had any artistic intentions as a kid, like with band or choir or anything. So piano and violin, cross those off. But definitely sports. But back in the day, they were free. You know, they were like the school-sponsored programs.
Right, or the rec league or something.
Yeah, the rec league.
Expensive, yeah.
And then the travel teams came around. And so now I pay like $3,000 for the soccer travel league,
mm-hmm.
something like that. But 12 gets up there.
Yeah. But if you paid $3,000 for both kids and then you got another sport on top of it, I suppose it's not out of...
It could be.
Not too big a stretch.
But also, for the kids, there's no reference to private school.
Mm,
okay? Which is very common at this income level. And maybe they're young enough, and that's why they have this huge child care bill. So maybe we can siphon off some of that child care into private school tuition.
Yeah.
That would work for me.
That would be fair.
Charity, $18,000. I love it. They're giving away a lot. They're not tithing 10%, but $18,000 is certainly meaningful. And then they've got this student loan debt. Undergraduate and graduate student loan debt for $32,000 per year. Oh, dear. Oh, it's just upsetting.
This is a big number. But I think a lot of people can probably relate to having that student loan debt be a real burden.
But I don't know anyone paying $32,000 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the fact that they're paying a lot to get it paid off.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone paying that much.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You're definitely looking at some higher education, doctors and
yeah.
whatnot.
Yeah, maybe they're, maybe we have here a doctor and a lawyer
yeah.
marriage, you know.
Yeah.
The next line is $10,000 of miscellaneous, which I'm okay with. And then they have this what's left, which is $7,000. So I think that there's probably only one category where we thought that they were underestimating the car.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, or, you know, tuition, but everything else seemed like it was kind of inflated to me.
Yeah, seemed a little high.
Especially when you start, when you look down the list, the taxes is going to be way less. The child care is going to be way less. The mortgage could certainly be more responsible.
Yeah.
Okay. Property taxes of $20,000. Dear Lord.
Yeah.
The vacations are high. I mean, everything is just inflated,
mm-hmm.
right? So, if you, if everything here is inflated by 20%, now all of a sudden you have $50,000 of extra money.
Yeah.
And that's not very average.
Yeah, and right? pretty good with a surplus of $50,000 at the end of the year.
Yeah. Imagine you start the year with $50,000 in your bank, and by the end of the year, you're just doing your thing, and you wake up and there's $100,000 in the bank account.
Right,
you know, one of if that's the case, one of these line items should be Christmas presents.
Yeah,
can right. you imagine if you saw that much extra in your bank, how yeah. you'd treat Christmas?
Yeah,
versus the average American, which has did we cover this? The average income in America, the median is 50. What did we say? 59,000. I think we skipped over this, didn't we?
I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so here we go. The average income in the United States is $59,000. And we just went through a scenario where these people are making $500,000 feeling average, but I feel like it's flawed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's, I don't buy it, okay? I will never feel sorry for someone who's making $500,000 who feels like average.
Right.
Okay, we need to go back to episode 13, and episode 55, and comb the budget
yeah,
if that's the case.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in Michigan, it's actually below the United States average at $54,000, which I was surprised to see.
Yeah, I was too.
10% less, you know?
Yeah.
But then the richest county in Michigan, which is Oakland County, and when I was a kid, everyone's like, oh, the rich area, you know, Oakland County.
Right.
And it's only $66,000. So, again, it's 10% higher than the entire United States.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, Oakland County is one of the richest counties. I don't know if this number's come down relative to the U.S.
Yeah.
Or like other areas have really sprung up, like, you know, New York and California, San Jose. Yeah, like yeah. Silicon Valley. I don't know. And I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I think it's just interesting to look at these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that anyone who's making $500,000 should not feel average. Because they have a tremendous ability to bank money,
right?
You know, and then save and invest for all these years, and be in a good position to feel like they have 100% probability for success, or be able to kind of have financial independence and retire a little earlier. Sound mm-hmm. familiar?
Oh yeah.
The FIRE concept.
Yes, I've heard of okay. it. Okay,
but if they're not saving and investing, then you know they're not going to be able to do that even with this big income. I'll tell you what. Maxing out the 401 for $19,000 each is not going to get you to the FIRE level. It's not going to happen.
No, there's got to be extra.
Nowhere on here is there any additional savings or investing, mm-hmm. and that's a real problem. You know, this what's left of $7,000, that's not going to take you over the hill, no. over the bump or whatever yeah. the term is. So I do have this ask though: if you do make $500,000, come see us. We'd love to talk. And we'd love to give you a second opinion. And I really botched the ending there. I'll fix it.